97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning, happy Saturday to you with D-Line. I'm Joe Torti here, 97.5, The Fanatic. We are hanging out together until 8 a.m. today, and there is so much to get to, as there always is. Sometimes we go a week between shows, it feels like, and we just have to catch up on things that have happened during the week. Good morning, D. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Joe. I did not account for having to clean off the snow on my car this morning.
All right, so
kind of got me a little late.
I've got a question about
I wasn't late for the show, obviously, because here I am, but my standards.
I would not call myself a majorly tough guy. Like, that's not how I would define myself. So I had to ask you this question. I was dropping off my daughter at school yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and the truck that I'm driving right now has a remote start feature. So at this point, you have to
I go get down there before you, and your car's already running.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little annoying.
Okay, so this is what I'm asking, right? So at this point, because of COVID and everything, we have to walk the child up to the door, drop the child off, and then come back to the car. On the way back, I start the car because, as I said, would not describe myself as a tough guy. I want it to be nice and like 72
little
degrees
cozy.
In the car
you
when,
coziness.
When I get there.
Yeah.
The crossing guard says, "Whoa, fancy." And I was taken aback by that. I'm like, no, I'm not a fancy person. That's not it. It's that I tolerate cold so poorly relative to everybody else. So, D, what's your take on if you saw somebody who, like, remote started their car, is your first thought, like, what a jerk? Is that, like, the first thing?
I don't say what a jerk, but I'd be just like the crossing guard. Oh, fancy pants is passing by.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I had a couple people that I used to work with that both... Two of them had it.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just jealous. Well, I don't know.
I could not recommend it highly enough to those who are out there who have the option.
Should be a standard feature now.
Man, I'm telling you. And then my wife.
So you drove your car yesterday, so you didn't have a problem with this. Mine's been sitting there for 2 days.
Under like a pile of stuff? Or have you like...
Pile, and then it became ice.
Oh, jeez.
And then... The significant other, and I'm not saying who's the better of the significance, but is awake in the house, has to hear me crunching away.
Oh, man.
But do you think I got any help?
Oh, jeez.
It's my fault. I didn't do it yesterday or last night. My Girl Scout skills are zero today. I mean, I did. My biggest thing, I once had a minor accident, but it was still an accident. From not having my windshield wipers, I got in the car and they were still frozen with the, because I didn't give it enough time, right?
Right, sure.
And got in an accident because I couldn't wipe everything down.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, only in a block.
Wow.
Yeah. And so today, they weren't moving because everything's frozen.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm not moving until, and I'm out there banging on the windshield.
I'm looking at my phone, and my phone doesn't always update the temperature overnight unless you hit like the refresh button on the home thing.
Actually, so, didn't feel that cold, right?
I didn't think it felt that cold outside this morning
either. Was it below?
Well, so here's what it said. At 2:38, it was 21 degrees. I'm like, that's really cold. So I hit refresh, and this is at like 4:50 a.m., and it went to 18 degrees. I'm like, come on! Give me a break. But it didn't feel that bad outside. Like, truthfully, it didn't.
And I didn't have gloves on when I was doing the... And the other thing, I don't know about you, Joe, but this, I've seen this when people are driving, like, on a highway,
mm-hmm.
who don't do the top of their car, and then the big...
Whoosh.
And because all of that was frozen in... I mean, it was...
You're talking about
sheet
sheets
of
coming
ice.
Off.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that was my other thing. I'm not moving until I get the sheets of ice off the top.
As long as we're judging people... And we're going to get to some sports.
I was responsible, though. Let me just say, I felt responsible. I didn't move until the thing was...
Completely.
My wipers could go.
Yeah.
I had nothing flying off the top. And here I am.
So I'm breaking apart these sheets of ice yesterday, shoveling sidewalks and driveways. And I'm doing next door and I'm doing the other side. And I'm wondering, why am I doing this? And I had a realization that I have like an arbitrary cutoff. And tell me if these are universal rules or if these are just rules that, you know, in my family, my area, whatever. I feel like if you are a guy who is under 40 and you have people on either side who are either not guys under 40 or don't have access to guys under 40, you're kind of crappy if you only do your own driveway and your own sidewalk. Like, I feel like that's kind of like, you know, you don't have to do everybody else's, but you're kind of a jerk if you don't help out at least a little bit. Is that fair?
I would throw a girl under 40 should do the same.
I agree.
My big thing is for the elderly.
Yeah. Or people who live by themselves.
By themselves is another one. People with young children who, again, if it's a single person.
Sure.
I mean, I looked because we always, and he does the same. My next door neighbor, he's elderly and he actually has done ours before. We
get
out
really?
There sometimes. Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Charles. And our other two neighbors, like Tim will go half the block.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I noticed the guy across the street, he didn't do his, uh-huh. and now he's, until it gets warm.
You're in trouble now.
You're screwed. And, I mean, our street doesn't get, because I'm in the city and it's a smaller street, and that was my one thing with doing the car today. I'm slip sliding on the street.
Got your snowshoes on.
But you still slide in those.
Yeah, you do.
So, yes, take care of your neighbors.
Yeah, that's... nobody's better than anybody else. But here, if I fall down and hurt my back, my wife and kids are going to be laughing at me from the window, and then they'll call an ambulance or something if it gets that bad. If somebody's out there by themselves and yep. no one lives with them, and they shovel, and something happens to them, you have
no
good. Idea. So
and I hate to tell you, the number of accidents that happen with people, it's not accidents, heart attacks.
Oh my gosh.
You ever read
I felt
them?
Like I was going to have one yesterday. Yeah. That's crazy. It was funny. I started out fully bundled. And by the time I was done, I was in a t-shirt.
Yeah, you're taking off the layers.
It's
come
exactly
on, man.
Right. Okay. Well, so there we go. I hope that everybody's having as much fun in the winter wonderland as it sounds like Dee and I were having.
Sounds like it hurt so good when you were shoveling there.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It hurts so good.
Those shirts are flying off the shelf. What are you talking about?
Whence We Came hurts or something. Like I saw those. It's people are always.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I like the other one better.
Yeah, me too. I like it much better. So let's talk about that really quickly because that was, a rare show sweeping game where we went 0-3 in our prediction segment and 0-3 pretty badly because. Were it not for a late rally, the Saints wouldn't have even really been in the game.
So did most of America.
Yeah. What did you say, Dee? What was the percentage?
So you'll have to help me out. So 85% felt that bet that the Saints would cover, and 91% of the money went.
Okay, so it was 85% of the number of bettors.
Okay.
And they accounted for 91%
of
the
money.
Okay.
There
wow.
you go.
That's a big time whiff by a lot of people.
Except for Vegas was loving it.
Well, of course. of course. But so let me ask you this, Dee. And this is the first thing I said to you. I think it's so foolish that you could ever put any kind of money
on a rookie quarterback.
A game yep. involving a rookie quarterback. Like, we said that we had to see 4 or 5 games before I was confident in saying Joey backdoor Burrow was something that you could bet on to keep games close and stuff like that. But, I mean...
The only thing I will say to... And again, you know me. I'm not... I don't bet, so... I love reading the lines, mm-hmm. and I'll say to you, that sounds interesting. Or,
sure.
But what I would say, I did not account for, and I probably wouldn't if you gave me another scenario that was comparable, where one guy could impact so many different areas of the game. Meaning, so your offensive line has been, 11 or 12 different combinations.
Right. True.
And all of a sudden, because you have a guy who just plays that position behind them differently,
mm-hmm.
now they look better.
It's true.
Your defense gets inspired because the guy is making some things happen and you're not on the field as often as the other guy, right?
Or in as bad positions.
Or in bad, of where you are on the field when you have to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So he impacted, because if I'm looking statistically, I don't think that the 85% of the people that bet were wrong, right? I mean, it was seven. The Saints were definitely 7 points better. The only other thing I would say is, and again, maybe the Saints defense, number one, going into that game, I didn't account for the quarterbacks that they had played against were mostly pocket passers.
Sure, yep.
And now all of a sudden you got this guy on the run.
Yeah, yeah, and that was, we knew ahead of time, one of the strengths that Jalen Hurts would definitely bring to the table.
Right, but I didn't think the Saints defense, if you're number one defense, you think at some point they would have adjusted differently, and they never adjusted to him.
That's true.
Now, and I'm not saying he was Herculean, but he certainly managed that game as well as you could ask for. He made very good decisions, in my opinion. And he certainly played like he did not want to hurt his team. And most of his decisions were about, let me just help as best I can.
So let me ask you this. I saw this opinion yesterday, and I wanted to get both of your thoughts on it, because we haven't heard from Nat Marlowe much this morning yet either. I saw that there is... Somebody said, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is why the Eagles won the Saints game. But I do know that the Eagles could not have won that game with Carson Wentz in. Is that fair? Do you think that's a fair way to look at it?
Certainly not the way Carson has been playing.
Right.
No.
Yeah. There's no way. There's no, and that's always the point that I bring up to people whenever they're like, Carson can turn it around. Of course he can. But there's just no evidence that we've seen this season
that it's going to happen right now.
That suggests that he's going to turn it around right now. Nat, good morning. So what did you think of the way that the game played out with Hurts under center as opposed to having Wentz in there as he had been for most of the season?
Well, with that question and what you bring up about the opinion of, I don't know if the Eagles won because of Jalen Hurts, but I know they couldn't have done it without Carson Wentz. I 100% agree with that, because there's three big things, and to me, at least in this order, on why the Eagles haven't won with Wentz this season, and those three things being the most important being Carson Wentz's mechanics this season, decision-making, and then Doug Peterson and Peterson's play calling.
Mm-hmm.
With Jalen Hurts in there, Hurts has showed that, at least for this season, I can't speak for the future, but for this season, Hurts' mechanics are better, his decision-making is way better, and even if Doug Peterson doesn't make the best play call, Jalen Hurts will at least adjust to it and use his mechanics and good decision making to make the play work. So I 100% agree that I'm not convinced that Jalen Hurts is the reason that the Eagles won that game, but I am convinced that Carson Wentz, had he played in that game, the Eagles would not have won.
Sure.
So Jalen Hurts, I think, did provide a spark to that team that they needed. They needed better decision making, which they got out of Jalen Hurts. You couldn't have asked for it to go any better, all things considering, with the way that this team has been playing overall, their record right now, and playing against a top defense like that. You couldn't have asked for a better ending to that game.
Well, so, Dee, let me ask you this. I thought of this, too, because I thought that the way that Hurts played, the only example that I could come up with was when McAdoo got fired and Eli Manning got his job back. If Doug Peterson is the head coach of the Eagles next year, which is no guarantee, by the way, but I think that he probably will be, I don't see a world where Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback next year based on what you've seen the last 2 weeks and what you've seen from Wentz. Like, it feels to me closer to the end of an era than the beginning.
Well, the only thing I'll say, all right, first of all, it is a week and a half worth of work.
Mm-hmm.
For right. Hurts. I need more than a week and a half.
Of course.
I mean, I think I told you this before. I was in Cincinnati when Jeff Blake took over a quarterback, and he was so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Carl Pickens was his guy. And, I mean, he found him, left him right for the rest of that season. But, you know, the next year, people had seen him and you account for him. And
the book's out on him. Yeah.
So I'm not saying either way. I'm not saying Hurts can't be somebody really good in this league. I would say that I think you're going to see definite competition in a training camp that we hope is a real training camp next year.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's also part of this. But to your point, the combination of a Doug and a Wentz, there's no strong evidence to say how do they come back from that separation. It just seems like something's off between the two of them. But that was the case as when he's playing. We didn't just come up with that now because Hurts played well.
No, it seemed like there was a clear disconnect from a play calling perspective.
The whole thing. Yeah.
We talked about Wentz's sensitivity, and I think that it is. I think that it's fair to say both ways, right? Like you're a pro athlete, you should be able to deal with everything. However, I think it's clear that Wentz is more sensitive, and also that Wentz has kind of gotten screwed. Like I think that both things are like can be possible. Now it is pro sports, so you just got to deal with it. But like to me, I don't get where this report came out that Wentz feels betrayed, and the only one he feels like he can trust in the NFL is Frank Reich. Did you see this? And I'm sitting there thinking,
that's
wow.
Got to be made up. Come on,
right? Like that can't be real.
Well. We'll get to basketball and made-up stories this week, too. But just to go back to your point, if the sensitivity is actually true, Doug went so out of his way after the game, I was so annoyed. I went to Twitter, like, what is wrong with this guy? He will not give Jalen any credit for managing the game. I'm not saying you have to say he won it for you.
Right.
I get that part. But he thanked everybody but Jalen Hurts. He did. He acknowledged everybody but his rookie quarterback who clearly impacted that game. And to not know that until the next day, I found that just so disturbing.
So I was trying to track that.
I was so annoyed.
Because I've actually thought, you know what? It does seem familiar for some reason. And I realize it's because we've seen other, I would call them good coaches, way pull back the reins in terms of...
To the extent we saw on Sunday?
Yeah. So for example...
Give me an example.
So Chase Claypool, when he had four touchdowns against the Eagles.
Yep.
Everybody's like, whoa, Chase Claypool's arrived.
And
Mike Tomlin's like...
Say.
Yeah, this guy's got a long way to go. Like he's
right,
you know, he's
I'll
not close to where we need to be and stuff like that. Like so there are, and I think it's lies. I think it's to make sure that your rookie doesn't feel like there's nothing left to work on.
Okay.
That you've learned everything.
The
like
only thing,
sort of thing,
and I'll go back and I'll listen to Tomlin because I like him.
Yeah.
The only difference I would say, his team was undefeated at the time.
Right.
And he's like, you know, we've done a lot of good things before he had those four touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, I think that was...
In the other case, it's 3-8-1, dude.
Nothing's gone right before
in a,
he got
in
here.
An NFC East that is the NFC least, and it took till week 14 for you to make a move, and then all of a sudden you're going to be the winner of a game that was so lopsidedly favored on your home field?
Right.
Come on.
This is, and not only that, I think I'm missing a win. They beat the Giants, they beat the 49ers, and who's the other win that I'm missing?
The Cowboys.
Oh, the Cowboys. Yeah, okay. The Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
So this is the first team that's any
not
good that they
me.
Beat. Right? Like, the 49ers are okay. This is the first team that they beat that has been, like,
and the
49ers
had our boy, what was his name?
Nick Mullins.
I was calling him Brent Mullins. That's how bad it is. I don't remember his first name properly.
And, of course, the Cowboys, the frozen pizza game.
Yeah, the frozen pizza game. It's not delivery. It's DiNucci.
Oh, yep. DiNucci, yeah.
Yep.
That's right. They split with the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants.
And the Cowboys left and Washington left.
Yes, right.
That gives them an opportunity to sweep the Cowboys.
Right. And get revenge against the nameless football team who's playing really well.
Which,
they won 4 in a row, 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Can I tell you? But they have the Seahawks this week.
It's true.
So I had somebody tell me that maybe Washington's onto something with the Washington football team.
Really?
Because they said, you know, like it's Manchester United.
Okay.
Liverpool.
Fair enough.
And why we don't find that weird.
Yeah, they have nicknames, but they don't have, like, official names in
Manchester
there.
United. We say Manchester all the time. We know who we're talking about.
That's true. Would you be a fan of that sort of thing?
Actually, when it became part of the conversation, I was like,
it's not that
bad. Interesting.
Yeah. I've thought about that, too. I've thought about that with MLS teams. I was like, how come some MLS teams have nicknames, like we'd call conventional sports naming trends in the United States, versus some that don't? Like, you know, Real Salt Lake and stuff like that.
Right.
Like,
or it's just the actual, like, name itself, Blades, Wolves.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's interesting, T.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I think they're playing better now than they have been.
Having nothing to do with the name.
In a long time, when they had a name. So, like, you know, it's...
They still have the same owner.
Yeah, same owner. But I think the right head coach.
I love Rivera.
I think that he's...
Alex Smith, obviously, is a good story.
Yeah, I don't get their quarterback
situation. And they've invested in their defensive line.
Clearly. Yeah, they clearly
That's right,
have.
Alex left the game last week.
Yeah. So we've got some questions about where they're going to go moving forward here, too. But and speaking of that, I do want to get to the fake made-up stories about basketball, too. Because, you know, D is, you should see D's contempt for these kinds of stories when they come out.
Uh-oh.
So we've got a lot to get to today. And a condensed show. You know, we only have the...
So we'll save most of our... Jalen Hurts and Eagles chatter for tomorrow because we have a full morning.
Yes.
To get to all that.
To unpack it all.
But and we can get to the Sixers and basketball coming up after the break.
610-632-0975. Want to remind you, this weekend's programming is brought to you by Heineken Original Lager. Celebrate the holidays with the crisp, refreshing taste of Heineken. Whether you pick it up or have it delivered, make sure to enjoy responsibly. Yes, so we've got Sixers stuff to get to. We've got basketball stuff to get to. We've also got some stuff around the sports world that has been popping up. And plus, we haven't talked about this, D. We've been kind of painting a dreary picture in terms of what sports potentially could look like in 2021. But new data points are emerging regarding vaccines, vaccine effectiveness, vaccine availability. Is it possible that we also need to kind of pivot and allow for the possibility that some greater degree of normalcy could return in 2021? It seems like some people are getting a little bit more optimistic about that. So we've got a lot to get to and not a whole lot of time. If you want to join us, 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard. Make your voice heard. It's D-Line and Joe Torti rolling on until 8 a.m. right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Oh, it sure is. D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, Nat Marlowe, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out together until 8 o'clock.
Nat, I love this song. Thank you.
So,
perfect.
Since I pride myself on being kind of a Grinch, you know, everybody talks about what their favorite Christmas songs are. Do you have least favorite Christmas songs? Like the one that comes on and you're like, oh, jeez. I've got one. That's easy. What do you think, D?
Well,
or
I mean,
you like all Christmas music?
No, the concept of Grandma got run over by a reindeer is really just wrong. I loved both of my grandmothers.
Oh, I know. And to have them be
Grandma
done in like
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
That's so sad. I know.
I'm sure I'm going to dislike one of the ones that you say also.
I'll bet you probably don't. This is a very traditional Christmas song.
Let me hear.
the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Like, oh, I do like that.
Everybody likes that song.
And you know, the voice.
I have such a silly
soothing
reason for disliking it.
I mean, if you hear it over and over and over again,
well,
I understand
part
that.
Of it. But do you guys remember that Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Catch Me If You Can?
Nope.
I've actually never seen that. Always wanted to, though.
Okay. Well, so to catch you up, spoiler alert on this 20-year-old movie, he's like Leonardo DiCaprio's a con man who befriends the cop who's trying to catch
him. Is it a Christmas movie?
Various chunks of the movie happen at various Christmases, right?
Okay.
So the last, like one of the last scenes where the con man's getting arrested, it's like a super like herky jerky, crazy, like chasing, is set to that song. So it's always had me like, I've watched it.
And well, now I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, don't do it.
I'm not letting it ruin that song for me. I love that song.
Okay. All right. And then also,
I've never roasted chestnuts over an open fire. I do want you to know that.
My dad almost like chopped his hand off trying to carve one of those things open.
Now I need to hear this story.
Oh, well, that might be an off the air story because there's a little extra to that one. But anyway, speaking of stories that shouldn't have been told, Dee, we wanted to get to the fake news, the fake basketball.
Well, I didn't say it was fake.
Well, you said made up. It's the word that you...
Right. Well, yes, I did, didn't I?
Is that not the case?
No, I'm saying that... So we're talking about the Ben Simmons to the Rockets.
Yes.
For James Harden, and that they shopped him, and the Rockets said no thanks. And, you know, now it's out there.
Right, now it's out there.
And then immediately after the report was that that wasn't a good enough deal for the Rockets... Daryl Morey comes out and says, we're keeping Ben Simmons.
And he's not available in any trade.
He is part of our future.
Yeah.
So, one, look, we know that Harden's on the table. Two, whoever you decide your source is, they can say whatever they deem has been discussed.
Sure. Yep.
And somebody would say, well... You know, where's the truth or where's the non-truth in this? I mean, the truth is, if you are having any discussion of trading James Harden to the Sixers, the first two names that come up in conversation, whether the Sixers want to have the conversation or not, is Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid
sure.
available? And I think that I applauded Daryl Morey for immediately coming out and saying, we're not doing this.
Right.
Because if we're talking about sensitivity with Carson Wentz,
sure,
this is a sensitivity to Ben and, you know, his future of beginning a season here under new leadership. So I don't know. It just, to me, there was nothing imminent there.
Right. Yeah.
So who had the agenda to like say... Because if the whole point is to say this wasn't good enough from the Sixers, so up the ante if you Brooklyn want them or you Milwaukee want them.
That's exactly what I thought.
And by the way, can I tell you how the real person who set the bottom line for this of what Harden should go for is Drew Holiday.
Yeah, that was
because
a crazy deal.
I mean, I'm shaking my head.
Shocking.
The three or four first round picks.
I thought it was three.
It's definitely three. It might be four.
Wow.
And it also had Bledsoe in it.
Right. Good player.
And you know, I'm a huge Drew Holiday fan.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not an MVP.
Right.
This league.
Shouldn't be fetching that
return. So I understand where Houston is coming from saying, you know, hey, this deal wasn't good enough. Now, at the end of the day... Depends who gets the desperate first. The takers or the one who wants you to take him.
Right. Sure.
That's,
of course.
Yeah. And then I did think it was ironic. Yesterday it comes out, and this is also, I would like to ask GMs, did you really respond to this survey where the GMs voted the best at each position?
Right.
Steph Curry at point,
mm-hmm.
James Harden at the two guard.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about... GMs have said he is the number one two guard in the league right now. and Houston's trying to trade him.
Well.
So I'm just saying, like, the asking price is going to be higher than a Ben.
Well,
even though I don't know what I would give for him, but I don't know.
Well, Dee, you've always said, too, that if you're buying James Harden now, you're buying James Harden at an absolute premium, as opposed to...
If not, already on the down.
But I just
at some
mean
point,
of
he's got to be down.
I just mean in terms of what they're going to ask
for.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes.
You know, because you could easily see a scenario where James Harden doesn't get his trade. And I don't know. I could see a scenario where a team that's got an unhappy Harden on it and John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins maybe doesn't go the exact way that you hope that it would go when you get all these guys, right? And all of a sudden, if the Rockets are at 7th or 8th in the Western Conference, and then, you know, you're sellers to begin with, if you're bargain hunting, that might be a better time to be making an offer to shake things up for the Rockets and to get James Harden and things like that. I thought exactly what you thought, Dee, was that, well, first of all, what in the world's Daryl Morey going to say? Like, of course he's going to...
Well, I don't know if you saw, there was somebody from Houston who immediately said, yeah, he said that about Chris Paul also.
Whoops.
And then, boom, he was out of there.
But, like, and that's what I mean, like... When your part of your business is moving players and like changing around,
right?
It's
saying
kind
that
of foolish to ask someone, you know.
But he, in Daryl Morey's case, he wasn't asked.
Right.
He went out on the like. Let me just set the record straight.
Right.
And I think part I have no problem. I mean, I think it does come back to haunt you when you say we're not trading him. Like similar to
Doug Peterson, we're going down to Dallas and we're going to come back with.
Or Middleton saying he wouldn't, what was his latest? And he wouldn't trade him for Babe Ruth.
Oh, it's Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler, there you go. And that's even crazier. but, you know, to do anything of the extreme is probably silly. But I understand where he was coming from. This is not how he wants to start his season. I don't think he thinks that there is a trade right now. And I do believe that he'd like to see what he has. Because if you have what you think are cornerstones to winning a championship at the age of 24 and 26 over the contract, which I told you, when it is James's 3 years from now,
right,
option at $47 million, I'm going to do a little bit of a homework on my end. Knowing that I don't have to pull this trigger right now.
Sure.
Who's lining up to trade for him right now?
Right.
Nobody. So take a look at your own product, which you haven't had the opportunity to do yet, and make some real good evaluation before pulling that. And the only way you would do it instantly, in my opinion, is if you could, in your mind, you're like, I have no doubt if I make this move, I am coming out of the East.
Right. Sure.
And that's, I wouldn't be able to say that.
So, Dee, when you look at this situation in Houston, how do you look at it relative to, because what people always bring up is, well, look at the Anthony Davis thing. You know, it's just a matter of time.
That was a matter of time.
Do you think that they're the same?
I don't know. Because the only thing I will say, Harden didn't start this. Russell Westbrook started this.
Right.
And now Russell is out and Harden's the one left.
Yeah.
Right? So in the Anthony Davis case, and Anthony Davis, now granted, he had 2 years. Harden has more.
Yeah. He's kind of married to Houston for a while.
Well, I mean, in terms of really forcing it, somebody might say Anthony really couldn't have forced it at the time. But by the time he got to where he couldn't play for them for the rest of that back end of the year, remember?
Yep.
I mean, and he wore the T-shirt.
Yeah.
You remember the T-shirt? I can't remember exactly what the T-shirt said. But he was definitely starting to push the envelope of where. And I remember when Iverson did it and, you know, basically they had to send him home until Billy could come up with that trade to Denver.
Right.
I was in the arena that Snyder said, he's out. We are trading him. And
just a matter of time, yeah.
So people have to really push the envelope. I don't think Harden has pushed it to that extent yet. You know, obviously the conversations when he didn't show up for the training camp part and he was in Vegas, then he was in Atlanta. You know, why have personal trainers in both those cities? Yeah, right.
Okay. Kind of training you get in, James.
Exactly.
You know, and it's funny because I could see a scenario easily where Harden looked at it like, yeah, we didn't do what we wanted to do, but we made some pretty good headway last year. I want to play with Russ. Like, I thought that things worked out pretty well with Russell Westbrook. And then Westbrook's like, nah, I'm out. And then he's gone.
And they find a deal for him.
Right, exactly.
Now, I will say to you, the two names you brought up in DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall, they need to be good soldiers and they need to play well. They can't get into, oh, this is a mess.
Right, exactly.
In my opinion, not to start this year. James, you can do what you want. And I think it'll be very interesting when he starts the season, because one thing you know about Harden, this guy likes the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to be second fiddle to anybody in this league. And how do you do that? By playing.
Well, and to your point, it'd be easy, at least I think. I know that it's not necessarily, you know, in the history of either of these guys, but for DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall, when they're asked about this, because they will be, to say, you know, and I've been here for 5 minutes, I'm just trying to, like, you know, focus on what I'm doing.
And that really is what becomes the problem.
You're right.
And I think back to the Anthony Davis, that your teammates end up answering for this situation day after day after day.
Exactly.
And that is what becomes, that forces the issue. But, like, when you think about Milwaukee and they want to see him as a running mate with Giannis, and what could he do with Kyrie and KD?
I don't think that works at all, by the way. I think that's a strange fit. I could see the Giannis thing way more easily than I could see Brooklyn. Well, then again, I didn't see it with Westbrook either, so.
That one I never saw. And they did pretty well together.
Really, sharing the ball and everything else, yeah.
I mean, really, the best one of the scenarios is him in pick and roll with Embiid is a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah, sure. That makes total sense.
Much more than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But to give up Simmons for him, now people would say, I haven't really seen anything out of Simmons. I cannot stand preseason anything. And if you tell me you've seen anything, okay, you can like Maxey. Nice.
Right.
The guy hustles. You probably got a steal at where you got him in the draft, at least on the surface right now.
It seems that way, yeah.
Right. He's going to give you something, probably can be in your rotation, but Thibault gave you that last year.
Right.
You know, in a different way. This guy looks like a hustler.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Energy guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, I mean, a Ben Simmons not showing you anything to the point in these first two preseason games, and I have to say, in the first one, I was texting my dad, hey, this guy's not even involved. What is going on? And it did appear, because the third quarter, Ben was more aggressive in the first game against the Celtics.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That it was all about Embiid, do your thing in the first half. We're not really going to play in the second half. I don't even know if he did play.
I don't think he did.
And now, Ben, the third quarter will be yours.
Right.
It appeared that looked like the scenario. But again, until I see these guys play, the only thing I saw... is in that game against the Celtics, Embiid ran the floor.
Right.
He definitely ran the floor. And I didn't know if you would see that. Now, how long does that last? I don't know. But that's always been my thing. You can say pace all you want. If that guy's not running the floor, your pace really doesn't change.
You don't have pace. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I mean, you can for a couple of possessions, but you're not going to leave him out to dry for the next 10 possessions.
It's funny that you bring up preseason for those two guys in particular, because I looked at it like, if you're Ben Simmons, you never have a question about whether Ben Simmons is in shape, and you know that Simmons is going to play all of the minutes all the time for the Sixers. So I actually looked at it as being, look, as long as they have a plan for the regular season, as long as Doc knows what it looks like, I'm okay, actually, if Ben doesn't do a whole lot. I'm cool with that.
I'm just saying I have no idea. I haven't learned one thing yet.
Me neither. But he gets the benefit of the doubt as far as I'm concerned.
And the same thing with like Seth Curry. No, I've been a person that I would prefer he come off your bench.
Right.
I don't want him in your starting lineup, but it would appear to me they're going to start the guy along with Danny Green. I think you're going to end up regretting this because I think one of them should be coming off your bench. And in Seth's case, look, the guy has averaged 25 minutes. Now all of a sudden I'm going to throw him in there to the starting lineup. So now you're going to play against the better two guards of the league to start the game.
Right.
And if I've seen in the preseason, he's not lighting the world on fire in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
3 for 8 in both games. He has one made three-pointer. This is a guy who's for his career is over 40%. And in two preseason games when yesterday, I couldn't tell you any of those Indiana Pacers that played in the second half. I'm reading their jerseys and saying, le quoi? You know what I mean? Where did he come from? So, and he can't make a jumper.
Who?
That's it. We've already seen this before. Don't forget.
So we're
used to this. We're used to 41, 42% three-point shooters coming here and shooting 30%.
But this is different. This guy's now in his eighth season in the league. 41% for 7 years.
Right.
Career is different.
I get it.
So I'm just saying, well, I would prefer that he comes off his bench. Because Danny Green, look, he's a veteran. He did not have a great shooting year last year for his standards.
Sure, yep.
You know, he's in the 30s, high 30s, shooting the three. But he's known as a good defender. Seth is not. And I just think that you, like, okay, if the guy earns that starting spot by mid-year, fine. And it really bothers me because I think Thybulle could have battled to have a starting spot in the sprained ankle. He's gone to the wayside right
now.
Not
battling anything right now. Yeah.
And Shake, who I think is seeing like a basket huge and thinks he has all the love in the world of this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring him off the bench because they see him as their Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford.
The spark guy.
Right. So, and I don't have a problem with that.
Right. Well, the thing that you brought up about Embiid is relevant to me because like I look at him as almost the opposite of Simmons, where I do have plenty of questions about how many minutes you're going to play. And I personally, I think that minutes restrictions work for guys like Simmons and like LeBron James and guys who you have to protect from themselves, you know, over the course of a season. Can I steal minutes here and there? I want to see Embiid play more. Like, I want to see him play more minutes.
Last year, Brett Brown wanted him to play 38 minutes in the postseason.
Yeah.
He flat out said it. But just, I hear you on, I don't ever remember a LeBron or a Ben Simmons ever on a minute restriction.
Or load management, rest, like or whatever, giving them days off.
Okay,
like,
LeBron.
Protecting
at this,
those guys.
Okay, LeBron has had that.
He has.
Ben has never because he's 24 years old.
No, but what I'm saying is I can understand the argument. Like I can
but there, right. Okay, but the argument has never had to happen because the guy has been your highest minute most until last year.
Durable.
Always available.
Yeah. With Simmons, or with Embiid, rather, I don't necessarily see that.
I hear you.
I'd rather see him play himself in. So seeing him running the floor and stuff like that, I think that is actually good long term. Because I did see people on Twitter saying, why in the world is Embiid running the entire floor in the preseason? Save it for when it counts. We've seen him try to save it for when it counts in the past.
Yeah. And
mixed results.
I'm not sure he was saving it in the past. I think he didn't like doing it. And, you know, if somebody comes in and says, this is the way we're going to play, and you want to have a good first impression.
Yeah, of course.
Then you're going to run the floor. And he ran the floor his first 2 years of playing in this league, or a year and a half, I would say.
And that's when
the highlights on YouTube of his beginning of his career, the game against Portland, which is when he actually hurt his, whatever that injury of the first year, when he actually came and played.
Okay.
And then he gets hurt. But then he comes back and plays in Colangelo.
For the Houston game? The national TV game?
But that Portland game was where the injury actually happened, but we didn't know it.
Got it.
But if you go and see the highlights before the injury in that game, this guy was
run.
He ran everywhere. He blocked shots. He ran back, dunked the ball, run again. I mean, it, you know, now he's a younger version of himself, but he's still only 26 years old.
You don't think of Embiid as an old guy. You think of him as a big guy, right? And big guys oftentimes age
and he's
more
bigger.
Quickly. Yeah.
That's the other part.
That's true, too. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Speaking of this, let's just get Doc Rivers' take on this real quick about how Ben's going to react to the trade rumors, because obviously it is a story that people bring up.
Yep,
James Harden and everything else. But you know, Doc's going to be asked about this,
and he was.
And this is what he said.
I didn't really look at that. I knew he was in a good place. You know, as I said, we had a good talk, and so I wasn't that concerned by that.
Yeah. So you talked to Ben. It's in a good place. All parties involved, what are you going to say?
And I have to tell you, now Daryl Morey's came out as a statement, meaning you don't physically see him saying what he said.
Right.
I have to tell you, anything that comes up that's brought to Doc's attention on these Zooms, he answers. He doesn't get annoyed.
Right.
He understands where some of this stuff comes from. You know, I think he handles it well.
So do I. I think that so far he's passed a lot of early tests that way. And to speak for Daryl Morey, by the way, I don't think that as a general manager or president of basketball operations or whatever, you're not doing your job unless you pick up the phone when someone calls.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely.
There are people that are saying, oh, yeah, you should slam down the phone if anybody brings up any. Why?
And,
you should listen to everything.
And in fairness, that's probably the conversation that takes place. You know, I mean, the people who, or the players in this league, who understand it is a business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a business for you, but it's also a business for us.
Right, sure.
So just because we gave you a max deal doesn't mean I can't entertain hearing how I could possibly improve my situation and
right.
the situation for this city. Don't take it as an insult. If you're wanted, if anything, that's a compliment.
Yeah, somebody else wants you. That's exactly it. 610-632-0975. It's D-Lineham and Joe Torti. Wide open phone lines. Join the conversation right now on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.